everyone, and welcome back to another edition on Everything Life and Godliness, ELAG. I'm sure you're wondering whose voice you're hearing, like, is this Dr. Tony? Sorry, it's not Dr. Tony. This is Dr. Tony's guests, and she's right here with me, actually, and we'll be sharing on a topic titled Maximizing Your Waiting Season. And I'll be discussing with your hosts, right, Dr. Tony? So, Dr. Tony, would you like to say hello to everybody?
Hello, everyone.
She's on the hot seat right now, so yes, I'm really feeling cool about this. So my name is Ibukun Oluwa Oni, and like you heard earlier, with Dr. Tony, and we're going to be talking about maximizing your waiting season. I mean, waiting seasons are very interesting seasons where you're expecting the manifestation of a long-awaited desire, possibly desires ranging from getting a spouse, being married, having a baby, a job, admission, a desired home. When you're in this kind of seasons, what do you do? Today's episode will be focused on waiting season before getting married or having children. And it's not just going to be one episode. We're going to have like a couple of, maybe two episodes.
Yes.
And we're actually in the seasons of our lives, right? So 20s. Yeah. Waiting to get married, yes. Right? And I'm expecting my children. And we would like to just share with you about our journeys and how we're maximizing our waiting seasons as we eagerly walk towards and expect our manifestations. So we're glad you're joining us, and we know you'll really be blessed. So yes. Tony, Dr. Tony, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, let's do this. All right, so let me go first. What have been the major waiting seasons in your life?
Thank you very much, Reverend Oni, for having me on my podcast. major waiting seasons of my life. I've had to wait on God for a couple of things. I would start from when I was waiting to start grad school. That was about 8 years ago.
Okay.
It was almost a year or a little over a year of just waiting for admissions and professors to respond to emails.
Okay.
I had to do that twice. I did that for my master's, and then I had to do that for my PhD. But it was shorter for my PhD, but way longer for my master's. I've had to also wait on God for healing, you know, physical healing for myself, for another person. Also emotional healing. I've had to wait on God for that. And also for financial provision, I've had to wait. And then now I'm waiting on God to get married.
Okay.
Yeah, so those have been like the major, waiting seasons for me.
Okay.
So what about you?
But I wanted to just say, is it like a waiting season time when we just wait on God, or maybe just times that you're expecting something? We say it's like waiting on God.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like it's between the promise and the fulfillment. Anything in between that is waiting.
Okay.
If you don't have it yet,
just
you're
like
waiting.
A place of expectation.
Yes, a place of expectation.
Okay, all right, then. So what have been my major waiting seasons? How interesting. I'll say like you, maybe waiting to get admission into college. We call it university back in Nigeria. Right, I had to wait for like 2 years before getting into uni. Then 2 years at home, having lessons and all. Okay, then the time before getting married, waiting for a spouse, the right person, was also another waiting season, because I think it was a time when I'd been in a relationship once. I was getting quite old, but I was getting older. And I was like, and there was a breakup.
Do you want to tell us how old you were?
How old was I? I think I was 27 when I had a breakup in my former relationship. Mm. And I was like, oh God, where am I going to start from? Like, I mean, I've always said my first love will be my true love. And now the first love is not working, right? I mean, both of us knew it wasn't working. So it was quite mutual. So like, Lord, where am I going to start from? So there was another waiting season. Right, when I had to really believe God for a spouse and then to get married. Then the third major waiting season, because we're talking about major ones, is having to believe God for children and having to, you know, that waiting season between when, oh Lord, I pray and then expecting to receive the physical manifestation of what of my children. So those are the major waiting seasons of my life.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So okay. So let me go next. What were the, your up moments in your waiting season? What were your I could start with your down moments.
Yeah, let's start with the down.
Let's start with the down moments.
Down moments. Well, like I said, I waited a while to get my admission, and my friends back then knew that I tried so hard. I tried every... One thing about me is once I put my mind to something, I have like laser focus. I just keep going. So I tried a lot. I kept trying. Each time I get a rejection, So rejections...
About how many applications did you make before getting to grad school?
Well, I sent a little over 100 emails, cold emails to professors.
100?
Yes, to different professors, just asking if they had funding, sending my CV. Eventually, I didn't put in up to 15 applications. It wasn't up to that. I can't remember the exact number. It wasn't up to 15 applications, but I sent cold emails out first. So rejections, I experienced some rejections. Another thing was, there was one of the exams I was supposed to take. It's called the GRE exam. And you needed to have a certain score to be able to get in for my program at my school. I think I needed a 310 or a 314 or 315. And I think I had a 300 on the dot. I was just right at the pass mark. So I wasn't sure that it was going to work out. There were just so many things happening. I ended the exam before I actually finished. It was a mistake. Like, I just ended the exam mistakenly before I actually finished. So I skipped a lot of questions. It was just a very, very unfortunate and messy and weird. I was like, why would it? And it was so expensive. So that was a moment for me, like, wow, did I just mess up my own future with my own hands? Am I going to redo this? But I remember that day I got back from the exam hall, and because my mom went with me to Lagos, and so I said that I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I should retake. So I called a couple of people. I called my sister, who was in the US at the time. I said, should I retake this? And she said, no, you'll be fine. And everybody said, you'll be fine. Everyone you'll be fine. Just one person said, oh, you might need to retake it. But all the other voices were saying, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. And then my mom, I remember vividly, I was in her room and I said, I don't know what to do. Should I retake this? Should I? And she said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And I just held on to that word. I said, okay. I mean, fast forward to right now. I used that GRE score to get my master's degree. I probably didn't need it for my PhD, but it was in my application. So the down moment was, me not taking, me not having a great score in that exam. And also rejections, back to back to back. I think those are the major ones that I can remember right now. And of course, trusting God for healing. The times when it felt like the healing wasn't coming forth. And I would still see the symptoms. And then I'd be like, am I back to this again? Should I, So the moments where it just felt like God was far away, or God was quiet, or
Okay, let me jump ahead a little bit.
Okay.
I want to focus on the part of being married.
Yes,
right, having someone, being in a relationship, being married, and having children, like that's like our major waiting seasons right now.
Yes.
And how did you feel when maybe a lot of your friends were getting married and having maybe like really solid relationships or not so solid relationships, and it looked as if nothing was happening, and you were only getting the right people? I mean, can you share a little bit about that? Was there any downtime? Did you have any doubts about getting married or what the future held for you?
That's a good question. Well, I think first I would say that all through my mid-20s up until my 30s, early 30s, I'm still in my early 30s, I was in grad school the entire time. So all my emotional energy, mental, psychological, everything was going to getting this degree and just being done with getting degrees.
How long did grad school take?
A total of about, my master's was 2.5 years.
Okay.
My PhD was 4 years, 4 years on the dot.
Okay.
I started August 2020, finished August 2024.
Okay.
So about 6 years and 6 months,
okay.
Almost 7 years. So I had about almost 7 years of my life just, you know. And I had friends who, yeah, most of my friends, I'll say 99.9% of the friends that I have are married already. So most of these marriages happened while I was in grad school. So one of the things that would go through my mind then would be like, it seems like I'm just in one spot, you know, trying to get this degree, focusing on, and that's how I saw it then. I was, you know, when you're too close to something, you don't see clearly. So I was too much into the weeds of school that I just thought that I wasn't making any progress. And this didn't happen every time. Just once in a while, those thoughts would come up and, you know, but I was genuinely happy for my friends who got married. If I wanted, I was genuinely happy, and I thank God for that. I was genuinely happy for those who got married. But sometimes I would feel like, who am I? Am I focusing on the wrong thing, you know? And of course, then I thought that, but now
am
I know
that.
Am I missing out? Yeah, am I missing out on something? Like, did I miss the husband boss? Mm-hmm. Something. Of course, I know that's not the case. But yeah, that was also there.
Did I misplace my priorities choosing grad school over marriage? Did you ever feel that way?
Honestly, no.
Good.
Honestly, no. I never felt that way. I think I've always wanted to, like, for my friends who knew me from the back in the day in at the University of Ibadan, 200 level, I'd been just mounting to my friends, I'm going to travel and get my master's degree, I'm going to get that PhD. I've been saying this since I was 19. So I've had it at the back. So it's like a lot. It's not something I started doing just because I saw somebody do it. I've had it at the back of my. The moment I was getting to the University of Ibadan, I already knew that this was not my final destination. You know, so when other things were happening alongside, I was grateful to God that I had the grace to stay on course and finish. So I did not regret that maybe I made a wrong decision. No. I feel like I'm so grateful to God that I was able to finish the race.
Okay.
I think it was the best time for me to do it.
Good. I think so too.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you kind of had very little down moments, right? Like a lot of down moments.
Not a lot of down moments.
Okay. All right. So
I love. So when I see people getting married, love. I'm like, yay, let's do it. And I love, most of my friends are married. So it's like, it's just good company. And
Okay. For me, my down moments, maybe I'll say before getting married, was after having to ask myself questions like, oh, where am I going to start from? I mean, I really wanted to marry my best friend, and I wanted one relationship. And so I felt like I was way too far from what I really desired. Like having somebody I grew up that I really loved, that we had common goals, common values. Somebody that was going to give me wings to fly, like I would say then. I'll say my husband would give me wings to fly. So, but I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but I know that some things really helped me at that point. So I'll say I had that moment. So it wasn't like a long period. Yeah, maybe at some point for that waiting season, I tried to use other things to cover up. But I was hurting at some point. But so I had to. That time it was a bit funny, but we came out of it. So we'll talk about that afterwards. So, and then for having to wait on God for children and believe God for kids. I've had some down moments. Yes, I've had some down moments. I've had times when people will see you and expect that, oh, you should have children by now. Or they say, oh, you're married, you look so young.
We should probably have another podcast about the people who ask people, you should have kids by now. Yeah.
Right. How many children do you have? And I tell them, well, I have 3 children. Like, oh, you know, well, they're kind of probing further. Oh, are you married? Oh, do you have children? You know, and those times when you hear those kind of questions.
Those are questions people should never ask anyone.
Well,
it's not their business.
People mean well. That's what I had
But
to
there's
realize.
Emotional intelligence, knowing what to ask and what to not ask.
Not everybody has it. So I have to have the emotional intelligence
to understand that not everyone has the emotional intelligence.
And then also know what I know, like, this is going to pass, right? So so I kind of have words to say. I always rehearse some of these things before I get into those situations. So sometimes, I mean, I know at some point those things will get at me, like just make me think like, oh, if you had children like that, my children will be like 10 years now, or they'll be like 7 years, or they will like, you know. And then sometimes I want to feel discouraged, like, oh, you're working in children's ministry. Maybe you're working, taking care of other people's children. How about your own children? You know, are you wasting time? Then I had those questions pop in my mind. You know, like, can't you wasting time? Can't you just give it everything to just have your children now and not, you know, spend time on other people's children? But then God gave me my answers. And that's why we're talking about this, this, how we can maximize our waiting season. So I had downtimes, really, right? Downtimes also when I had to do I had to do two IVFs, in vitro fertilization. I had to do two, and it was a waiting season. And the times between having the fertilized egg implanted and, you know, when you have to do a pregnancy test, is also a very interesting waiting time. Like, I wasn't sleeping at night because, you know, your heart would be so like, oh, Lord, let it be positive, let it be positive, you know. So that was also another waiting time, you know. So some emotional, some crying times, like, especially at that period. I mean, I know it was just at that period that I know I had a couple of crying times, but besides that, God has been faithful. Right. So
I want to add something to what you just said, which is, as you were talking, I just remembered that I think some of the downtimes that I had too were actually, if I remember correctly, were actually from external sources. It was just like we talked about, the questions people ask. I think I've had people just say some things, and, you know, very insensitive things, or try to imply that maybe I'm wasting my time with, or maybe I'm not, I don't, maybe my priority, I'm not getting my priority straight. I did have someone ask me during my master's. I think they just saw that I was, they were married, right? They were married. And I think they just saw that I was very content with where I was, very happy, jovial, living my life. And they came to my office one time and they said, are you ever considering marriage? You know, and I thought that was such a very insensitive question to ask anyone, you know. But I understand maybe because they just
felt we were too happy. Too
I was
content
too happy. I was too content to be single. I was too content to be single, and I was literally living my life, even up until now. I mean, you know, you stayed with me for
baby
a little
girl.
While. I'm a baby girl. I just live my life. I'm a happy child. I'm a happy child of
happy
God.
And blessed.
And so I think sometimes people would say some things, and the enemy would want to capitalize on that. So I had to learn early enough to develop a tough skin to things that people say. And so, like, I don't really care what you think about me. If you think I'm too happy to be single, well, maybe you need some happiness too.
And if you need some, I can get you some happiness.
Oh, yeah.
Some joy. Yeah.
Need some joy. So, yeah, I think, yeah, some of those down moments were externally imposed on me. But again, I always find a way to just, it gets better with time. Over time, it just doesn't matter anymore. And you just, like you said, you just get to understand that maybe people don't really mean some of, you know, they don't mean harm. And even if you do mean harm, honestly, I just find a way to emotionally detach from people's comments, because nobody really knows your journey and the things that God has told you. You know, so it doesn't really matter.
Wow, that's really good. Thank you so much, Dr. T.
Thank you for having me.
So, I mean, the next question is similar to the last question. You know, we talked about downs, right? I don't want us to go to the ups yet, except you want me to. Okay, I mean,
we can
talk about the ups. So go ahead, please. What were the ups? What have been some of your ups?
Up moments.
Yes.
With respect to waiting on God for marriage.
Yes.
My up moments have been getting to know a lot of things about marriage, about life. And I'm seeing different things play out in the lives of different people around me. I've seen good marriages, I've seen bad marriages. And one of my up moments is when God slows me down when I'm about to make a mistake or do something or take a decision, you know, relationship wise. I think also to be realistic, I love the freedom in this season. It's part of my up moments. I love the freedom. I love the autonomy of my time. So I like the fact that I have time to do the things that God has asked me to do.
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh, I love this life. I can, God can call me today and say, go to Korea. God, I don't want to go to Korea. But I mean, if he says go to South Korea or North Korea. Yes, Lord.
Let's get there, Lord.
I'm on my way, you know. So I like that. I'm like, oh, I like this. I like the freedom. I like it when I walk in the, I like it when I follow God's instructions, obey, you know, and I see the reward of it. So many things during this journey that God has asked me to do while waiting. And I might struggle at first, or, you know, struggle with the idea. And then when I start to do it and I see how it's a blessing to people, it really encourages me. And that is where my sense of purpose, you know, comes. And I'm like, yeah, I love that I'm here doing what God has called me to do. So eventually when the man comes, I'm not just sitting around and just waiting and waiting and waiting, which I don't think anyone should do. Like, really, whether you get married or not, you should really get on your feet and get
doing something.
Do something. Do something with
purpose.
Yes, fulfill purpose. Answer God's call on your life. Do something. Travel. I mean, do something. Yes. Be
productive.
Happy. Get productive. Don't waste your years. Don't waste your time, because time is not something, except God really, really supernaturally restores time. Once time passes, it's gone. So, yeah. Do those qualify to be up moments?
Yeah, they do. Actually, they do. They do. Yeah. For my up moments will be moments where I've had to, I get confirmation about what God speaks to me about. You know, in expectation of what he has prepared for me. My up moments are times when in the middle of maybe feeling sad, or middle of, let me just be very practical here, maybe in the middle of me expecting to get pregnant and not expecting my period, and I see it, and then God just, on the inside of me, I just feel a joy that, you know, this doesn't change what God has said, right?
It is
like
fact.
This is too small to change what God says. You know, those are some really up moments for me in the midst of the trial, because sometimes it's just a time of trial that we're going through, you know. So those are some of up moments, or when my children, so I call the young people, God has brought a lot of young people into my life. Kids and youth minister, and
at Rema Nigeria,
in church, even in church, in Bible week, I had a Bible club, so there was Love Child, there was my church, my local church, Rema Nigeria. So especially with Love Child and my local church, right? Because those are like more close up, right? So I've had my children come to meet me, speak words into my life. Yes, even at the camps, right? Rema Youth camps. And just speak God's word into my life in the midst of all the hard work, I mean, all the labor. And so those are like up moments that just make me feel like, well, you know, in this journey, that strengthens me, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
I think God has a way of just, every time we're about to get discouraged, God has a way of showing us the promise. He might not show us everything, but he will just, you know, it's like a little nod here and there that my promise still stands. Like, I've not changed my mind.
Yes.
I think I've had a few of those moments before. Like, I've not had a lot of... Usually when I pray, you know, I pray, maybe pray concerning my marriage. A lot of times I might... I told you, I'll have a prayer session maybe about different things, and then pray about my marriage, and then when I go to bed, I'm seeing myself preaching on the stage. like God, did you even listen to the last prayer point? Or it doesn't even matter. So I saw that a couple of times. I'm just like, okay, I think I know what God is trying to say. Don't just focus on what he's calling me to do. You know, when it's time, he would, you know. So, but a couple of times he would send, you know, someone to say a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
You know, just one thing, and this confidence would just, you know, spring up again in my heart, and it's like, yeah, whatever God says he's gonna do, he'll do.
Yes, it surely comes to pass. Like my pastors, my directors, well, like my spiritual parents have also have a huge place to play, you know, in my journey, you know. My mentors, I remember my waiting season before getting married, and there was just a word that one of my mentors came and said, God has made your life beautiful. He makes all things beautiful in its time. And I held on to that word. That was in Ecclesiastes. Mm. Yes. They kept saying, God has made my life beautiful. And I just think, God has made my life beautiful. And that was exactly what happened, you know, with how I got married the following year. You know, in about 6 months, I was engaged again to my best friend, and the following year we got married. So, so the next question I wanted to ask is, similar to the last question, have there been any major challenges you have faced in your journey? Like, I think you've actually pointed some of these things out. Were you ever in any relationship that, you know, this was like a challenge, I needed to get out in the journey?
Yes, to tell us
a little bit about just a little bit.
Maybe not so much in detail right now, but yes, I was in a relationship that I had to exit, and I think there was so much to learn after, you know, after stepping out of that season. There was so much to learn.
You want to share with us any of the lessons you had to learn? I mean, you know, it's not about anybody, but you.
Oh,
know.
No, not about anyone. Yeah. It's more about the experience.
Yeah.
I think I got to know myself better. A lot of things had to be recalibrated, like my sense of purpose.
Mm.
You know, I think one of the things that the Holy Spirit revealed to me, which I didn't realize I had up until the moment when I was no longer in a relationship, was the fact that in my subconscious, I thought I would never be able to fulfill purpose if I was not in a relationship.
Mm.
It was very subtle. The Holy Spirit had to bring it out. And so that was where we started from. Mm. We started to shatter that idea. Mm. So I'd carried that in my subconscious all through the relationship, so that even when it wasn't working out, it was like I just kept trying because I thought that my value was attached to that.
Mm.
And it's like, if I'm not in that relationship, you know, I can't do other things that God has called me to do. So it was like almost like tying my destiny to somebody else's life. And you know, my God had to use my mom to speak to me. She spoke in my native language. So it means that God has not tied your destiny to one person in particular. It's not that God is not limited like that. So I had to, first of all, the Holy Spirit, and I had to work on that, rebuilding my self-esteem again.
And sense of purpose.
My sense of purpose, and understanding where I was, where I needed to be, the things I needed to do.
Wow. I hope you guys are enjoying this, because I'm learning so much from this conversation. So we're going to end there today, and we're coming back next week. So please don't go away. Stay with us and watch out for the next episode. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me on my podcast.
On your podcast, Everything Life and Godliness.
And Godliness.
Goodbye for now.
God bless you.
God bless you.